In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. First of all, let me ask a question. I just want to make sure that, you know, we listen to the lessons this morning. Who is the son of Nun? Joshua, okay. That was in our first reading. And that Nun spells N-U-N. There was a question that was asked me when I was in the process of my ordination to priesthood. I was one of the 10 finalists for the process, and during the 3 years after that, you know, we had to meet with Commission on Ministry. And every now and then we have, you know, interviews with them, and one of the veteran priests asked me, one of the early interviews, Koshi, we all have a pet message, a pet sermon, and what is yours? And I thought this was a very trick question to trip me, and so with fear and trembling, you know, I said, mine is reconciliation. Because I felt the reconciliation as I finally decided to follow my call. I was running away from my call, then finally reconciled with God and reconciled with my fellow human beings, you know, my family and others, you know, about my own call that I ran away from. So reconciliation with God, reconciliation with fellow beings, that is my pet sermon. And since then, I have preached that many times, actually here many times, and my interview here also, I preached on that. So, and today, in the gospel, it was Pharisees' turn to ask Jesus a question. And their intention was really to trip him. And it was not anything noble, as my priest asked me when I was during that interview process. And their intention was to test him, to trip him. And they asked, what was the greatest law in the Bible? The greatest commandment in the Bible. And Pharisees were the experts. They were the lawyers. They are the know-it-all type of the temple. And they considered Jesus as a kind of a lightweight upstart from a backward place like Nazareth, you know, as, you know, what good can come from Nazareth kind of attitude towards those kind of places, and what does he know? So they asked Jesus this, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? And Jesus proved them wrong immediately, and he answered them with Shema. Shema is the prayer that every Jew in the morning and when they go to bed, they say this prayer. And that is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your mind. And this Jesus said so, you know, I mean, as if, you know, the Pharisees, you know, they were thinking about 651 or so laws that they wrote into the thing, as that was, you know, that how is he going to find the greatest message, greatest commandment from that. And Jesus said this thing, and then that really shut them up. And this prayer that the Jews pray every morning and every night, and then Jesus added one more thing to it. That is from, this prayer is from Deuteronomy and the other law, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, is from Leviticus. And both these things together really forms the greatest contribution for religious thought for humankind, the Jewish contribution to that. And on its heels followed the axial precepts underlying all ethics. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As I look back, the veteran priests of the Commission of Ministry in Massachusetts for me helped me identify my basic sermon of reconciliation. Reconciling with God and reconciling with human beings is reflected in these things. You know, first, love God and love your neighbor. And those are the, you know, if you look at the cross, the two planks of the cross, love God is the vertical plank, and love your neighbor as yourself is the horizontal plank. And that is where reconciliation takes place. And that is where Jesus hung on the cross, reconciling all people, all creation to God himself. And today, our world is suffering from the absence of that ministry, absence of reconciliation with God and with fellow human beings. A couple of weeks ago, we came back, as Gary Russell and myself came back from El Salvador after spending a week there with several other North American Episcopalians from different dioceses. There we attended a seminar on human rights and reconciliation and faith, organized by the Global School of Christosol Foundation. As part of our program, we visited Eben Ezer Church, about which and its ministry. There was a few weeks prior to our leaving was an article in Christian Science Monitor, and titled "God versus Gang." For some in El Salvador, rehabilitation happens at church, and that is more a secular word, rehab, and it is actually reconciliation. Reconciliation happens at church. It was a storefront church. We all went there in a gang-controlled area in neighborhood in San Salvador. As we entered the place, Pastor Nelson Moss and some of the members of the church were, who were not busy, you know, working that day, greeted us and took us down to the level where they ran a bakery. On one side of the bakery, we saw mattresses stacked against a wall for a handful of gang members who lived there at any given time. Then we sat in circle and ate and, you know, broke bread with them that they made themselves. And then we introduced ourselves to each other. And following that large group meeting, we all broke into smaller groups, making sure that each group had one or two gang members in it. And the group that I was in, I had the privilege of sitting with the pastor, Pastor Moss, and the lay leader of that church, Wilfredo, and who was one of the people profiled in the article. Wilfredo, who still had tattoos under the upper, you know, Adam's apple. On one side it says 1 and the other side 8. Stands for Barrio 18. And Barrio 18 and MS 13 are the rival gangs most responsible for majority of the killing that is taking place in El Salvador. El Salvador has the most violent deaths happened in El Salvador than any other country in the world for the past few years. And it is not even a war-torn country. It is, you know, somewhat peacetime, but more people die there because of gang violence there in that place. And I had the, sitting across from a gang member, an ex-gang member. It was quite an experience. He had tattoos all over his body, but you couldn't see that because he was wearing a shirt that covered everything, except that you can see his Barrio 18 on his neck. And he started telling his story. He and his family, when he was very young, moved to L.A. from El Salvador in the late 80s or early 90s. And while in Los Angeles, he became a gang member. And he rose to the level of becoming the leader of Barrio 18 in that area. He was found later on, and then he was caught and was deported, just himself, back to El Salvador some 16 years ago. Immediately after coming back to El Salvador, Wilfredo was caught in an armed robbery and was put in prison. So he served 10 years in prison. And while he was in prison, he came to know Jesus, and he became a Christian, and he joined this church that is run by Pastor Nelson Moss. Ever since, he has been trying and witnessing his faith and his coming to Christ to other ex-gang members or other gang members in prison. And that is now a church with lots of ex-gang members. And this is all from one group of people, from one gang group. Their life is very dangerous because the society hasn't accepted them. Even after, you know, coming back to or yearning back to be in the society, they are still not accepted by the society, and the government policy is iron-fist, and you know, no matter what, you know, they treat all gang people in a, you know, kind of a militaristic way. So they don't make any distinctions between gang members and ex-gang members. And that is the danger that these people are waiting. The church is the only place that they have some relative safety. And this is where they are experiencing some acceptance, some belonging, then stability that they used to experience when they were with the gang. Wilfredo lives alone in San Salvador, cut off from all his family, parents, wife, and children. And they all live in Los Angeles. So I asked him, how does it feel that you living here all by himself without his family? And he said, now my family is this. This person is unbelievable faith in Jesus, and he is really, really on fire for his faith and bringing others into Christ. And you know, when I saw that this is what is taking place, this is what reconciliation is about, and here is a place for reconciliation, but the society is not willing. Society is not accepting them. And I felt like, you know, these are the prodigal sons wanting to come back, but the elder brother is not willing to accept him back into the household. And the people are showing their willingness to become productive citizens in the society, but they are still cast out. And this is how can a society really become more peaceful and livable when people are not willing to reconcile with people? Knowing Shema, loving God and loving human beings, just knowing it alone will not work. It's not sufficient. We need to be practicing. I remember once a businessman proudly announced Mark Twain, "Before I die, I want to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And I will climb at Mount Sinai and read aloud the Ten Commandments." So Mr. Twain answered him rather wryly, "I have a better idea for you. You could stay home in Boston and keep the Ten Commandments." So sometimes, you know, we are too pietistic about our faith, and, you know, we pray and we, you know, say all these wonderful words, but unless we put our pietism, our prayer, our principles into practice, and that is where the ministry of reconciliation happens. And we, in our church, we do that in our own place, working with people who are the lost and the least, the most vulnerable in our own town of Phoenixville. And we have been involved in ministry in El Salvador for the last 11 years. A great ministry of reconciliation is taking place, or at least the Christosol Foundation is involved in that work. And some of the things that they are doing today is really, really leading that country in the right direction. And I'm really, really proud of the fact that, you know, we are involved with Christosol in that ministry of turning that place into a place that is livable and peaceful. Our knowing and reciting the Ten Commandments or the Shema day and night are absolutely hollow unless we are out there doing something about it, something with it. We collude with bigotry and violence and oppression unless we are actively working for change. In the church, it is easy to become overly concerned about our own vertical relationship and nothing about the horizontal relationship. Our own, you know, we are more interested in worship. Yes, it is wonderful. But at the same time, unless that worship turns into service in the society, that worship has no meaning. Unless our piety and prayer should lead us to activism, they become void and meaningless. We are the body of Christ. In and through the body of Christ, healing is offered to each of its members. Each and every one of us as a Christian is given the power in the resurrection. We are the risen Christ. And we are given the choice about how we exercise that power. And for us, it is the ministry of reconciliation. God calls us to exercise that power of the resurrection and working for reconciliation of all. Amen.